by popular request, I don't know if it was popular request, but it was request of Shir assistant representing people in the Shir, that we not finish Shin Yud Ches today, that we finish Shin Yud Ches tomorrow, to give a little bit of extra time on Shin Yud Ches, because it's a lot. There's a lot there. So that will be the plan. The plan will be to finish Shin Yud Ches tomorrow. That gives everyone two extra days to work on Shin Yud Ches, because then you can work on it on Tuesday also, since there's no Shir on Tuesday. So that's going to be the plan. We're not going to finish it today. We'll finish it tomorrow. And Baruch Hashem, there's what to do. There's what to talk about. So let's talk about today. We already discussed Kli Rishon. We discussed Kli Sheni. And we discussed Iroi Kli Rishon. But there may be certain things that are exceptions to the rule of Kli Sheni. That even though Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel, so we discussed Kalei Abishel a little bit, but there's another important and pretty famous exception to the rule, or potential exception to the rule of Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel, and that is based on the way that Tosos formulated the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Right? How did Tosos formulate the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? Because the Defanos are Makaros, the Defanos of the Kli Sheni cool down the content of the food, and even though it still might be really hot, but it's heading in a direction where it's cooling down very quickly. So this concept of Defanos Makaros is what makes Kli Sheni distinct and different from Kli Rishon. This leads to the famous Chumrah of the Maharshal. The Maharshal writes that when you have a solid food that you put in a Kli Sheni, you no longer have the Svara of Defanos Makaros, because it doesn't take the shape of its container, and therefore it's just the bottom surface of the food that's actually touching a cold plate, but all the sides of the food and the majority volume of the food is not getting in, is not coming in direct contact with the cold Kli, and therefore you don't have that same level of Defanos Makaros in a Kli Sheni when you have a Dover Gush, when you have a solid food and not a liquid. It is known as the Chumrah of the Marshal. This Marshal appears in Maseches Chulin, that any solid food, even in a Kli Sheni, has the status of a Kli Rishon. The Ramah in Yerideh Simon Kuf Hei Sif Gimel, in the context of a discussion of Tasa'a Gavar, the Ramah writes, V'kol zelo mayri el b'chom Kli Rishon, kigon miyad shemeser min ha'esh manicho im ha'heter, that the whole discussion, Tasa'a Gavar, is if something still has chom Kli Rishon. Aval, im kvar munach b'Kli Sheni, v'achar kach maniach ha'heter etzlo, o alav, Eina oser klal. You take a hot food and you put it in a Kli Sheni, and then you slap a hot piece of meat, you put it in a Kli Sheni, then you slap a piece of cheese on it. It's not going to aser at all, because even though tasa'a gavar, the tasa'a has to be hot, and it's only hot if it's still the chom Kli Rishon. If it's chom Kli Sheni, it's not hot anymore. Very, very clearly mashma from the Ramah that he does not accept this chumra of the Marshal. The Ramah is talking about solid foods, and he says in a Kli Sheni, it's not going to have any impact whatsoever. Apparently, even in a Kli Sheni, a Dover Gush, in a Kli Sheni is not going to be Mevashel. So the Ramah disagrees with the Chumrah of the Marshal. The Gra over there, in Yerideh, Simon Kofei, Sif Katan Yod Zayin, the Gra writes, on that Ramah, Umarshal Kosav the Bedover Gush in Chilip and Kli Rishon the Kli Sheni, that the Marshal writes that there's no Chilip between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni if you're dealing with the solid food. And what does the Gras say? Ayin Tosas Shabbos Memem Beis. You got to look at what Tosas says in Masechah Shabbos. Mashe and Vieshlomer V'chulei, meaning the Gras is alluding to Tosas' answer of why the Kli Rishon is different from Kli Sheni, and he says Mashe in came Bedover Gush as opposed to Bedover Gush. V'rayasu midagim shalom bekara ubedarkim Moshe cholak alav v'kasav dagim shalom bekara v'kamo cham le tochtzonein kivin shalom havin adayin b'kli sheni masha'in kain k'shoye kvar b'kli sheni. And he says, and it's very clear, says the Grod, that the Darkim Moshe, the Ramah, disagrees with the Marshal, that the Marshal, based on Tosfos, assumes that Dover Gush in the Kli Sheni has the status of Kli Rishon, but he brings a raya for the Ramah. The Grod brings a raya for the Ramah from the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuv Hey. What's the raya for the Ramah? So again, fundamental machlokas, Marshal and Ramah, solid food in Kli Sheni, does that have din of Kli Rishon, that's the Marshal, or Kli Sheni, that's the Ramah. Says the Gra, raya for the Ramah is the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuv Hey. The Gemara tries to figure out a case of the Isser of Basar B'Chalav, that to have a case of a Kli Rishon, meaning at a table, that to have a case of a Kli Rishon, it has to be that they were eating from the pot, which is why there were Doraisa issues, meaning the Gemara talks about, we already alluded to this Gemara, that how could it ever be that there would ever be a Doraisa Shaila of Basar B'Chalav at your table where you're eating. So the Gras says, so the Gemara assumes that it's got to be in a Kli Rishon, right? That's the only Hechitimtza. The Gemara says, it's got to be that they bring the pot to the table. Then the Gemara said, but where's the fire? Maybe you need... So we discussed this when we spoke about Kli Rishon al Gabe Eish, Shalo al Gabe Eish. But one thing was clear 100% of the Gemara is that it needs to be a Kli Rishon. If it's not a Kli Rishon, there's no Hechitimtza where you can have Basar B'Chalav Midoraisa at your kitchen table. It's got to be in a Kli Rishon. Says the Gra, why does it have to be Kli Rishon? Just say you're eating a Dover Kush. Just say you're eating a piece of chicken and a piece of cheese. You're eating a piece of meat and a piece of cheese. Why do you have to say it's a Kli Rishon? If it's a Dover Gush and a Kli Sheni, it has the same status as a Kli Rishon, then you don't need to say it's a Kli Rishon. So it comes along the Gra, he says, the Gemara was talking about milk and meat foods that are Dover Gush. So the Gemara could have said, you don't need a Kli Rishon. As long as it's Dover Gush, it has the status of a Kli Rishon. The fact that the Gemara never thought of Dover Gush, never thought of suggesting that a Dover Gush and a Kli Sheni has the status of a Kli Rishon, it's not that the Gemara didn't think of it, the Gemara didn't hold of it. A Dover Gush is a Kli Sheni. Even if it's in a Kli Sheni, it's a Kli Sheni. That's right. Number one of the Gra for the Rama against the Marshal. The Gra then brings another Raya. The halacha is that when you have Tevel that did not yet have a Gemar Malacha, you haven't yet completely processed the Tevel, so you're allowed to eat an Achilas Arai from it, but not an Achilas Keva. So the Mishnah says, you know, Bishul is Koveya. There are certain things, Shabbos Kova as the Meiser, Bishul is Kova as the Meiser. There are certain things that make it that whatever you eat next is going to be considered to have a Chalos Shem Tevel, where you're going to have a Chiyuv of Maestros, and you're not even going to be allowed to eat an Achilas Arai. Because once you're Mevashel, you're giving it Chashivos. So the Mishnah says that putting oil in a Kli Rishon would be Koveya, but putting it on chamita would not. And the Rash of there explains, what does that mean? Chamita means like a hot cake. Like to put oil on top of a hot cake will not be mevashal the oil to the point that the oil is now going to be chayv in shubus maisus to the extent that you can't even eat an achilas arai. So you see, pouring oil on a hot cake is not a Kli Rishon. But what are you talking about? Hot cake. Hot cake is a davar gush. So wherever it is, it should be a Kli Rishon. If it's hot, it's a Kli Rishon. If it's a hot davar gush, it's a Kli Rishon. Elamai, says the Gra. You see that the Gemara is working with the assumption, the Mishnah is working with the assumption that there's no din of there's no exception for Dover Gush. So those are the rayas of the Grah, that the Ramah is correct and that the Marshal is incorrect. This famous Chumrah of the Marshal that it's perhaps incorrect. Now, how do we answer those rayas of the Grah? So Milchus Yaakov writes, you know, the whole discussion of the Marshal was a Yoredei discussion. I mean, the Marshal is about Blios. So if you're worried about Blios, Blios are going to apply on a Dover Gush, even in a Kli Sheni. But if you're talking about Bishul, what actually constitutes Bishul? What's an Isser of Bishul? In a Chinami, there's no din of Bishul in a Dover Gush in a Kli Sheni. A Dover Gush in a Kli Sheni is a Kli Sheni. It's not a Kli Rishon with regard to Bishul, which is very, very important, because last year, many of us learned Yeredeia. This year we're learning Shabbos. So the whole notion of Dover Gush was very exciting last year. Says Michas Yaakov, it should not be very exciting this year because it doesn't do anything this year. In the Hilchah Shabbos is all about Bishul. There's no din of Bishul in a Kli Sheni on a Dover Gush. There's no din of Bishul in Kli Sheni at all, even on a Dover Gush. The whole idea is that when it still has the chom of a Kli Sheni, so then it has the capacity to transfer Blios, but that's it. That is very, very hard to assume. Why is that hard to assume, that it's only a din in Blios and not a din in Bishul? Basar B'Chalav may be about the technical Bishul. It could also be Derech Bishul Asvatara, whatever's normal to... but even stronger than that, what was the whole Raya? The whole basis of the Marshal was Tefanos Makaros, right? That was the whole Raya, was that... And the funnest part, what did Gar say? Ayin Tosos Shabbos Tav Mem. I mean, it's all based on the Tosos and Masech Shabbos in the context of Bishul B'Shabbos. You know, also, we had a whole discussion about Iroi, right? And in the discussion about Iroi, so we said, according to Rabbeinu Tam, one of the three versions of Rabbeinu Tam, the one that we paskin like, which may or may not be Rabbeinu Tam, Iroi is mevashel kedei klipa. And what was the raya? Where do we pull kedei klipa from? That Iroi is mevashel kedei klipa. Where do we get it from? Tasal gavar. We got it from Yerideya. It's a Yerideya concept. And that's how we paskin. So to assume that Blios and Bishal are working on two totally different tracks, it's difficult because we seem to the whole notion of kedei klipa comes from the equation of Bishul to Yerideya to Blios. The Magen Avraham says like the Marshal and like the Yisrael Heter and the Shach that all seem to assume that a Davar Gush and a Klisheni sells the status of a Kli Rishon. And obviously, he's assuming that that Blios and Bishul are follow the same basic rules. He derives it from the rules of Blios. So we need to do better, right? How do we reject these rayos of the Gra? The Gra pretty strong rayos. So the raya from Maestros is not not the end of the world, because it could be that we assumed that when the Mishnah says that putting oil on a chamita, whatever that is, that would not be mevashel. So we assumed, and it must be a davar gush. I don't know what a chamita is. Maybe it's not a davar gush. Maybe it's just something that's a klisheni. So that's not necessarily, you have to, once you're defining a weird term that doesn't come up too often. So it's open to interpretation. The raya from Basar B'Chalav is a little bit more challenging. Why did the Gemara, again, when the Gemara was talking about a case, we're trying to find, can you ever have a chashash to a raya, a bishul Basar B'Chalav, happening at your kitchen table? And the Gemara says, must be that there's a kli rishon. Why didn't the Gemara suggest a kli sheni? So it could be that the yisur d'oraisa of bishul on Shabbos is not quite identical to Basar B'Chalav. Rashi and Tosfos both say that Bishul by Basar B'Chalav is only when there's a liquid medium, which obviously the liquid medium is usually going to be milk. So if you put a burger with cheese on the grill, then it may not be an issue of Basar B'Chalav midaraisa, because without a liquid transferring the time, it could be that that's not called the Derech Bishul of Basar B'Chalav. On Shabbos, it's pashut that you don't need a liquid medium. Right? On Shabbos, afiyah, tzliyah, it's pashut that that's all a melacha d'oraisa. So a davar gush may not have a din of bas v'chalav midaraisa, but that has nothing to do with a davar gush being in a klisheni, because it could be that the reason davar gush is not bas v'chalav is not going to be considered bishul bas v'chalav midaraisa, is because the gedarim of bishul are slightly different when it comes to liquids versus solids. That we dafka find that liquids versus solids is an inyan by bas v'chalav that is not an inyan at all when it comes to bishul b'shabbos. So how do we paskin this? Bottom line, davar gush. So I think, generally speaking, it's machlokes Rama and the Gra, but the Magen Avraham sides with the Gra. So normally, the Rama and the Gra, for whatever reason, are viewed as equals, right? Meaning, even though the Gra was an Achron, I think Chazanish said that we're supposed to view the Gra as a Rishon, that the Gra had earned the title Ki'ilu, he was a Rishon. He was obviously unusual in history. So how do you pass with the davar gush? So we try to be machmir, not to put cold food on a davar gush on Shabbos. We treat it as a potential issue, midar raisa. So some are machmir for that reason. If you have, let's say, a hot piece of kugel or chalent, a very hot piece of kugel or chalent on your plate, not to have raw salad sitting on top of it. Rav Yashiv was machmir for that. Rav Shlomo Zalman and others were makel that you could have.
The Ramah and the Gra argued, I thought the Rav brought rayas to the...
I'm sorry, I keep saying wrong. The Marshal and the Ramah disagreed, but the Magen Avraham sides with the Marshal. That's what I meant. The Marshal and the Gra brought rayas to the Ramah. So again, you have the Ramah and the Gra, which is very, very powerful. But on the other hand, the Magen Avraham is how we normally would, we follow the Magen Avraham and Aruch Chaim and the Shach and Yerideya. So you have the Ramah and the Shach that seems to side with certainly the Taz seems to side with the Marshal, and then you have the Ramah and the Gra seem to argue. Yeah.
How are we magid of Rugosh? I mean, Chalant is for sure.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
Or is
what do you mean in terms
would
of?
Would you be able to be make if you're talking about like
bread touching which is baked, touching the davar kosher.
So that's probably the same thing as putting something on a hot plate and subject to that machlokas, right? That's also machlokas aposkim. Whether putting something on a hot plate is a davar kosher, meaning it's like tzli kedar, considered like bishul, because it's sitting. It's not tzli is only when it's an open fire. That's or that would be like more like bishul. I think we're makel by the hot plate that we consider it to be bishul and not like tzli achadishul. We're making both directions, actually. But okay, now there are three shittos about solid foods in the cliche. Magen Avraham Sivkat Memhei Paskins, again, like the Marshal, liquids in the cliche won't cook because the walls of the cliche are actively cooling it down. A solid food, a davar gush, that's a yatzoledas, it has to still be yatzoledas, has the capacity to cook even in a cliche if you put raw food on it, because the walls of the cliche don't really cool it down. And again, it's not only the Magen Avraham, it's not only the Marshal, the Shach, Yardeus, and Kofesiv, Katnaches, explains the difference between davar yavish and davar lach in the cliche, Mishabrua and Sivkat Samachay, Yeshli Zoyer Bazet. It's best to be machmir. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes that a davar yavesh that's begushim kigon tapuach adama that tachas basar. And it's still hot. Kiatzaledus yesh la hachmir bo kibekli rishna vilach shenitin bekli sheni o shlishi mikimin shu otzer betocha sechom. It holds the heat very well. So machmir about solids in a kli sheni even in a kli shlishi. Shmir Shabbos quotes this as well. Then you have on the other side that we said the Ramah Yardaya in two places kuf hey gimel and in Sadi Dalid. In Hilchos Bechol and Sim Sadi Dalit Siv Zayin, that any food, even a solid food in another kli, has the status of kli sheni, and the Chassam Sofer in Yerdeh Sim Sadi Hay says that ein shorish ledover b'shas uposkim to be machmir like the Marshal. You don't find anywhere in shas and poskim v'chein kibalti mimori agonzatzal lahakel b'dover gush be'esat zarech that you can be makel on a dover gush be'esat zarech. It's interesting. It says ein shorish b'shas uposkim. But you need an Esa Tzavnach in order to be Mekel, right? He's only willing to be Mekel, Esa Tzavnach. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes, Yardaya, Simin Sadihei. Now, when he says Mori, when he says that Mori Agon Zatzal, who's that? So Nasan Adar, Chassam Sofer had a couple of rebellion, but Rav Nasan Adar more than anybody else. Rav Shach always likes to tell the story, how Rav Nasan Adar kidnapped the Chassam Sofer, essentially. I don't know if he always uses those words. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. That Chassam Sofer said, I think, what was it? Chassam Sofer said Josh had his bar mitzvah and he argued on the Zayda and his father got up and slapped him or something. He said, chutzpah, you argue on the Zayda. And Rav Nasan Adar said, this kid is a genius and the father is stifling his creativity. He needs to be taken away from his father, and he raised him in his house. Again, not in the manual of how to be a successful modern Orthodox rabbi, kidnapping children who have potential. But anyway, the Chassam Sofer Paskins like the Ramah. The Shach is sort of in the middle, meaning the Taz is a Marshal man, and the Shach explains the Marshal, and the Mishabur says we should try to be Machmir for the Marshal, and the Magen Avraham is a Marshal man, but the Shach sort of takes a middle road in Simon Kufhei Sivkat Nechas. The Shach Paskins, Ein Biyodi Lahachriya. He says, I can't really be Machriya. But he goes on to say, I'm going to skip major chunks, look at it inside. Miu vadai ba'orez v'dochen im utzalul v'nishmach kein rotav nira di yeshlus mocha divrei rav v'chein mashu b'isar v'hetar aruch sham d'davka b'davar yavesh lo shayach klisheni v'ulai ga marshal lo ka'amar ala ba'orez v'dochen sheinim tzlulim v'chein mashu midvar v'sham. He says, there are solids and there are solids. Is rice a solid? Rice, it's a million little pieces. They scatter. They don't like totally take the shape of the container. They don't. It's not like pouring water on your plate, but it scatters a little bit versus like a piece of meat or a piece of chicken. So he says, I agree to the Marshal in principle, but where I draw the line of what's called the davar gush and what's not, I'm going to move that line over a little bit. And I'm going to say that a davar gush is only mamish a davar gush, something that's rock solid. But something like couscous or or rice or something like that scatters a little bit, maybe that would be considered not a davar gush, and therefore it would be considered like a klisheni that is considered to have cooled down. The Taz in Simsad Dalit Sivkat Yadalid is machmir B'davar gush b'klisheni, only with a ducha de sakina in the end of the day. He quotes from Mori Chamizal, he quotes from the Bach, that b'chatach basa roteach b'sakin cholavas b'klisheni, that if you cut hot meat with a milch knife in a klisheni, v'ayatzel let this bow, da sakin nesar, the knife becomes asar, da basar maflit bow, because the time of the basar goes into the knife. Avalena basar nesar, shein koch b'chom de klisheni, lahaflut abalua b'sakin lavliya b'basar. But the meat won't become treif, because the meat is in a klisheni, so it's not going to have the ability to draw out the tam from the knife and bring it into the meat. He also moves a little bit off of the marshal, and he says that I'm willing to be makil when you don't also have ducha de sakina, which is a huge nafkamina for the Shabbos. Meaning, he says, if you're talking about, can we be balea? Can it be balea? Can the meat be balea? The milch tam from the knife, when the meat is in a klisheni, it can, but only because there's also ducha de sakina. Sounds like without that the Taz would be willing to be makel. Lemaisa, 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 lemaisa. Right? Bottom line. Right? I just said, how do we paskin? I quoted you four shittos. So lemaisa. Like, how do we really paskin? So the Aruch HaShulchan, Yerodeyasim, Sadi Dalitzev, Kanan Beis, says you could rely on the Ramah when there's Hefsim Ruba. And that seems to be what the Mishmur says also. Yesh Li Zar, when the Mishmur says, probably means try to be careful. But obviously, we recognize that the Ramah disagrees and that there is room to be makel, like the Chassam Sofer said, that there's no Zecher and Shasr Poskim to this. So according to the Mishmur Brura, in the Magen Avraham, in the Shmir Shabbos, if you have a hot potato, like a hot, solid food, a potato really holds heat very well, and you have a raw spice, to put a raw spice on a hot potato, it's Yatzel Ledes, even if the potato is no longer in the Kli Rishon, you have to be choshish, that it might that you might be cooking up the spices. You're not allowed to spice food in the Kli Rishon, even after it was removed from the fire. Dover Gosh has the status of a Kli Rishon. As an additional tziruf lahachmir, even if the potato was in a klisheni, the spices might be kalei abishal nowadays, right? We had that Rosh Hashanah Zalman, that whenever the spices are ground up, they become kalei abishal. So you have a couple of reasons to be machmir, not to put spices on a hot potato in a klisheni. First of all, your klisheni may really be a kli rishon because it's a davar gush. And second of all, even if it is a klisheni, the spices might be kalei abishal.
What would we say by salt? Where it's machmir tov?
So I think salt nowadays, the salt that we have has been pre-cooked already. No? Don't they say that? I think so. I think the table salt is all pre-cooked already. What about putting a salad on your plate next to a hot dover gush on the same plate? So in the Sefer Ma'ora Shabbos, in Simon Vav, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that lo nichole, v'gam gush de'eno rak safek, v'lo meskaven, v'gam k'tzas kilkul, v'akol derech mesasek, v'ein tam lachdosh b'zeh. That there are a lot of reasons to be makel. It's lo nichole, you don't want your salad to get cooked. Dover gush itself is a chumrah to begin with, it's only a safek. It's eno meskaven, for sure. It's k'tzas kilkul, meaning it's being makalkel v'yochel, more than you don't want cooked lettuce, no one cooks lettuce. And it's derech mesasek. It's just sort of happening on its own. You're not doing any maisa. So to throw really, you know, to throw all those chumras together would be a lot. Yeah.
What is the logic of the mashal? What if the davar gush is touching the walls of the klisheni?
Meaning, if it's a very narrow klisheni, you're saying where it's touching the sides, also the bottom sides and all sides, then the chara would cool it down. You would think, right? That's a little svar, no? No, do you see it differently?
No,
I would think that it would cool it down.
What about the inside of the potato?
Yeah, what about the inside of the soup? I don't know. It's inside of the soup also retains heat.
Isn't it different than with the liquid, like the soup? It's not the same soup that's on the outside.
It may be different, but the whole sphere is based on Tefanos Makaros. Right, so if you have Tefanos Makaros, it cools it down.
The inside of the soup will, like, in a second, be on the outside of the bowl.
If you mix it. If you don't, not. So, I don't know. It's more fluid, obviously, but still. Well, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have a thing. They put pickles on Yerushalmi Kol. Do you ever see this?
No.
It's a real Israeli Kiddush. So they put pickles on Yerushalmi Kol. That's like a thing in Eretz Yisrael. So are you allowed to do that? Can you take a pickle and put it on your Yerushalmi kugel. So in case anyone wants to make aliyah, you have to know. So if you ever need to make a simcha. So isn't the lechor, the kugel is a davar gush, has status of a kli rishon, lechor, the pickle juice is raw. So Rav Yashiv is quoted Mara Shabbos that you cannot take a pickle and put it on hot kugel on Shabbos. Kugel's davar gush is mamish straight marshal. You gotta be machmir. We're no to be machmir. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Shmir Shabbos in the first parak, Os Reish Aleph, I think in the old versions, and is makel again for a lot of these same reasons. In Shmir Shabbos he writes Shemati me'agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Tzatzal. The kivin shein l'meskavein v'lo ichbadle va'od avik tas kilkul shalom lafon b'zeh v'derech mis'aseik va'od din gushenu al esafek u'prat b'kli shlishi ayin le'alor kufzad yigim l'vav okay v'lchein nein lachshosh b'zeh v'im hichmes lafon achomis al yidei bishul v'adei in lachshosh. And if the pickle was ever cooked before, then obviously it's not, but yeah, v'im meskavein it's l'lo ichbadle, it's nakalkal, you're ruining the pickle, and the whole thing is a chumra to begin with, and a lot of people argue on the Magen Avraham and the Marshal. What about ketchup on a hot piece of? L'chorinat, but you know, you always throw that in as an extra. What about putting ketchup on a hot piece of chicken or meat? I want to take questions. What about putting ketchup on a hot piece of chicken or meat? Ketchup is ketchup a davar lach or davar yavish? How would you consider that? So first of all, ketchup is cooked already, right? But if it's a davar lach, it's in stein in the gamri, something that was cooked that was already in stein in the gamri. So shalmazan, meaning, and like the whole point of ketchup is that you're supposed to be able to put the meat together with the ketchup. Otherwise, right, you don't just eat the ketchup, right? So it's good. So if you have hot meat or hot chicken and you want it, you want it with the ketchup. So shalmazan and Shmir Shabbos holds that ein ha-ketchup nachshav mamish lulach. He says it's not really lach. Vidino kagvaniyam v'shelas, it's like a cooked tomato. Dav sheish b'mitz, of course there are juices in a cooked tomato, but it's considered a yavesh, and therefore more kal. So I mean, it's a double yavesh. Tomatoes were cooked beforehand. Ein bishul achar bishul. So you're not going to be machmir for the marshal. Ein bishul achar bishul. You know, it doesn't make that, even if it was in a kli rishon, ketchup shouldn't be a problem, because it's a double yavesh. Ein bishul achar bishul. You don't have a problem. Rav Moshe, or Chaim Chelik Dalet Simnayin Dalet Bishul Osei, Umashin is tapakta be ketchup, Shema hu ochel machmas shuhu av. Maybe it's an ochel because it's thick. Af sheniro kali de shvicha, even though it pours out, Mistavr shlo tali zebedin ochel o mashke legabi tuma. Lechora, the din of ochel o mashke when it comes to bishul achar bishul is not tali in the din of ochel o mashke when it comes to tuma. Elbim u'dover azav u'dover shulchaticha medes u'mudubekas yachad af below klila midan u'medavkan. Is it something that flows, or is it a chaticha that could stand independently without a kli holding it? Shulchein yekshach shiva kalach nir ledina kedas kvotaras rav derashon liten ketchup al basar oteach shenitan l'kli sheni. But I still think you could put it on hot meat in a kli sheni. Da'af im nachmir gam shtei chumros, even if you're machmir both chumros, so he says, okay, look, what do we have over here? We have a suffix about bishlach or bishl b'davrlach, right? So we have a tzad say in bishlach or bishl afil b'davrlach, right? What did the Rama say? That yesh bishlach or bishl b'davrlach when it's done in legamri. But what did that mean, right? We discussed that maybe it means that the Rama really holds in bishlach or bishl afil b'davrlach. Yes, or says we had a chumra when it's done in legamri. So that's at least one suffix. And then you have another suffix about a davar gush and a klisheni. Davar gush and a klisheni. Is it mevashel? Is it not mevashel? I don't know. Marshal and Magen Avraham versus everybody else. Rama and the Gra are pretty strong. I don't know if you're going to say that has a status. That's at least a suffix. So Svek Sveika, you could be Mekel, says Rav Moshe. But there's Hilchas Shabbos. You can be Mekel a Svek Sveika in Hilchas Shabbos. He says, Avahacha chumra di yesh bishlach or bishl b'davalach, hu chumra bi alma shegdoli aposkim sabri de gam balach in bishlach or bishl, v'cheinu achras harama. This is where Rav Moshe really lays it out. He says, I hold strongly that the Rama holds Ein Bishlach or Bishl B'davlach. Remember, not everyone held that way, right? But Rav Moshe says, when the Rama says, this lo nitzayin legamri var, that's a chumra. But if you ask the Rama, what do you really hold? The Rama holds Ein Bishlach or Bishl B'davlach. That's the halacha. V'nogim came to Rakshim and said, the Gamri Machmir. And v'gam achor medover go, shav b'klisheni, v'adayin krotech, ha'pliki harbe elzeh, b'toch ha'marah ma'ah. Asher hu ikur gadol ba'ora. So Moshe, if it was 50-50 sveikos, and you'd only have a svek sveiko lahakel, I'd understand someone saying, oh, but Shabbos, how could you be makel in Shabbos? He says, but these aren't 50-50 sveikos. They're both much more nota to be makel than to be machmir. You're going to take the marshal over the Ramah? Why would you do that? Why would you take the marshal over the Ramah and the Gra? Plus, you're going to the Ramah paskins ain bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. So Moshe is of the opinion that anything that flows when the plate is tilted is considered a liquid. Anything that stands alone and doesn't take the form of a kli is considered a davar yavish. So ketchup is considered a davar lach. But nevertheless, you could put meat or chicken on a in a klisheni with the ketchup, because there are two chumras that make a svek sveka even better than a svek sveka. Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't put hot roast into cold gravy. So Mishnah Berurah is clearly machner on this issue. Just one point. I remember years ago, I think I told this maysa last year, I remember it was during Hurricane Sandy. I remember Hurricane Sandy was what year? I don't know, a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so during Hurricane Sandy, DRS was, we had to leave the building because it was damaged. The building was damaged. The whole basement had like 10 feet of water in the basement, and the whole building was damaged. So we were in different shuls throughout the neighborhood. They had classrooms in South Shore, had in Beth Shalom. So the 11th grade, my shir was in Beth Shalom for a few weeks during Sandy, and the impression that the administration got was that the kids were so shaken up by the experience of Hurricane Sandy, some of them were so shaken up by it that we needed chizik, that they needed chizik. I don't know, I didn't really get that impression so much. I thought they were enjoying the, they got like a week and a half off of school until they scrambled to find somewhere else to put us. Everyone was like, okay. It was like exciting. It was like snow day every day. But some people had to be rescued from the houses in boats, and like that was different. So they brought in Rav Asher Weiss to be mechazik the oilim, to be mechazik the American community who never suffered Hurricane Sandy. And this was as rockets were flying, into Israel, and like real things out. It was a little weird, like to bring in like. Whatever. But, so Rav Asher Weiss came to be mechazek us that, the Jewish people have known worse things than, whatever. So at the time, Rabbi Aryeh Cohn, one of the rabbis in DRS, had a shayla. Someone had asked him that they inherited the Bubby's fancy china dishes, but they don't remember what it was, I think. I think that was the case. They remember if it was fleishigs or milchigs. And they want to know, can they use it for, can they use it for fleishigs? And it's China, so you can't kasher. Maybe it was treif even. It was even treif. It would be a hefsim ruba to get rid of all of it. It was very expensive China. So Vasha said, what's the China? It's a klisheni. It's just China. It's a klisheni. Like, he didn't even think like you needed any tziruf. He just said, it's okay. Plus, you have the Chacham Tzvi. It's been more than a year, so all the blios are gone anyway. If you want that as a tziruf. But he thought, like, the fact that it's a klisheni, like, it's a davar pasha that we pass on, like the Ramah and the Gra, Me'ikar Adin. Rav Asher just lost his mother today. Rav Asher sitting Shiva now. Okay. The other.
In the pickle case, the salad case, the ketchup case, why are we not thinking about it as maybe it's probably a bishul and who cares even if we're gullik the Ramah? Why are we not
If your attitude toward Kalei Abishal is that everything is Kalei Abishal, so shouldn't we be not to the Hachmir in all these cases? Yeah. So you have to figure out what your attitude toward Kalei Abishal is. Yeah.
Is there any story in the pickle case to talk about Kavish Kumabushal being a Abishal?
Not in Chol Shabbos. Yeah, that's as far
even
as
even though Davar Gush is itself a Blios Inyan, but we're carrying it over?
Yeah, because that relates to heat. So that relates to Bishul. Now the other major topic that has to be dealt with is kaf. Is when we talk about a ladle, you dip a ladle into a soup. So the Taz in Yerodeus and Sadi Beis of Kod Lamed writes that Kasev Maril Hilchos Pesach Vizol Shono V'Amagel Al Yedei Iruy that if you're doing hagala by pouring boiling water over a kli to do hagala, if you're doing kashering by iru, kashering your countertop, so you have these boiling pots of water, you got to pour it out. He said, someone might say, what are you doing? Why would you do it like that? Take a ladle, stick it into the boiling water, and then just spread it out on the counter like that. Pour it out on the counter like that. So it says the Taz in the name of Marmil, you have to be very careful that it's dafka mina kli shel bishlobo v'uanikra kli rishon v'al yishov mina kli shebo arotchin b'kli acher v'laros mimenu lahagil mishum de kli sheshovi b'mogu kli sheni. Because what are you doing? You're going to draw it out with a ladle? The ladle's a kli sheni, and you can't kasher the kli sheni minis batel bo bishlo arotchin term shemagilan. Before the hagal ever happens, you don't have it's not reticha anymore. But here's what you could do. Take the ladle, stick it into the kli rishon while the fire is still going in the kli rishon, and therefore, and while the ladle is in the pot of water, the water is boiling, so now the ladle is holding water that's boiling in a kli rishon, so the ladle will then become shaper miskuri gam hu kli rishon. Then the ladle will become a kli rishon. So it sounds like if you're not heating, if it's not on the heat source as it's boiling up, if you stick a ladle into a kli rishon, even though the kli rishon is very hot, stick a ladle into a kli rishon, draw something out, the ladle is a kli sheni. But if the soup is on the fire and you put the ladle in as the soup is boiling on the fire, then the ladle will become a kli rishon. So says the Taz in Simen Sadi Beis. So it seems like it was in a classic case of ladling out soup, of scooping out soup on a Friday night, that it would have a din of a kli sheni. He quotes Maril in Hilchas Pesach this way, you know, is that when you're kashering, you need to do it with the direct iroi, because using a ladle would not be good enough, it would make it a kli sheni. But leaving it in the pot for a while as it's boiling, that's a kli rishon. The Taz disagrees with Maril. He says, first of all, if it's in the kli rishon, it should be considered a kli rishon. It's not that you poured it into the ladle was stuck into the kli rishon. You know, what point does it become a kli rishon? Tosfos Avodah Zarah raises the issue of at what point something can become a kli rishon. With a few nafkaminas. Kashering is a nafkamina, right? If it's not a kli rishon anymore, you can't kasher. And other nafkaminas is also as far as dinim of dan. So mishubru and sivkan pei zayin is machmir. That would have a din of a kli rishon. But in sivkan memhei, he uses it as a sniffle kula for dipping challah in the soup. Meaning, even though the Shulchan Aruch says don't dip challah in your soup, right? We already saw that machlokes rishonim about dipping challah in the soup, but that's assuming that the soup is a kli sheni. And challah is kalei abishul, and yesh bishul achar afia. So you put all those together, and therefore you're not allowed to dip your challah in your soup even in a kli sheni. But who says that the soup is a kli sheni? Maybe the soup in your bowl is a kli shlishi. So Mishmur uses that as sniff lahakel. So Mishmur in Sivkat Pei Zayin says that if it has steam coming from it, then the ladle is for sure a kli rishon. That's based on the Tosfos and Maseches of Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Gimel. It could be that Tosfos is only talking about kashering, and kashering needs boiling water. You know, kashering yatzalad is not good enough for kashering; it needs to be boiling. But okay, but it could still be, even without boiling, still be a din of a kli rishon. So Mishubura is based on Taz and Yodei Sim Sadi Beis in the name of that Mariel, it's only considered to have been heated by the fire if it was heated enough that you have steam coming from the ladle. So a ladle in a kli rishon shelo al gabei eish l'chor, according to that Taz from Mariel, is definitely not a kli rishon, because it's not really being heated by the fire. And that's the Chazanish Shita. Chazanish and Kuf Chaf Beis Gimel holds that way. And therefore, it sounds from the Mishra Brura and Sivkat and Kuf Yud Gimel that a ladle is a kli sheni, the way we use it. If you stick it into a kli rishon al gabe eish and a chinami, you have taz, maril, that's a kli rishon. But otherwise, it's a kli sheni. That's what Chaznish makes that point. Chaznish says, when the pot is on the fire, that's the whole discussion. When it's off the fire, it's never going to be in the kli rishon. Just a second. They say that in the name of the Chaznish, that if you tilt your pot of soup when it's on the fire into a bowl, then the new bowl is a kli rishon, which is difficult to understand. Whatever. Let's leave that out. Yeah.
Sometimes it could be that he's working with the svara of tfanos mekaros. It doesn't have to be a tfanos then. It could be that he's working with tfanos mekaros. You put it in the soup for long enough, the tfanos of the ladle are just as hot. So then you have tfanos, you don't have tfanos mekaros, and that's why it wouldn't be.
At some point, it's just that. I mean, you would have
that's
to.
Why you steam. I mean, it's not because of bleos.
In a chinami, but then you would also have to. Meaning, at the point that the ladle hit the soup, that the soup that's in the ladle went into the ladle, it was the tfanos mekaros. Right? And then it heated up, then the second time, you know, or when you move it around a little bit, then it would be not the tfanos mekaros. Right? I have to say something like that.
According to the Mishnah Berurah, which the case on Shabbos is all a case of al gabei esh, how would you find a ladle going into a pot al gabei esh? Isn't that
Magus?
You're mixing it, no?
So it wouldn't be bishul, it would be the issue of hagasa, which we didn't. What?
Hagasa remain.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying so when we're dealing with hagasa, so then there's a lot, there are more details. So if it's something that's already cooked, then there's no assumption that there's something that's a total liquid. So there's an assumption of even heat distribution. So if you're not redistributing the heat, then hagasa wouldn't be a problem. And also the idea that even sticking something in is hagasa. We got to discuss hagasa. We didn't discuss hagasa yet. Okay, we'll get there. We'll discuss that also.
According to the Chazanish, won't we always have to add an extra kli then? For all.
Meaning with the tilting, you're going on the tilting thing. Yeah, it's a big chum.
Tea also.
Oh, we'll get to tea. We'll get to tea. Yeah, we'll get there as well. Yeah.
What about those steamers that some people use for Pesach, where like kosher and countertops? It's like it's heated up in like the main part, but then there's like a plastic tube. So would that be considered a klisheni since it goes like. And then, like, the spout, so to speak. It's not, like, directly attached.
Poskim have other problems with those steamers that, for kashering, it needs to be really, really hot, like, on the surface also. And a lot of times when it hits the surface, it's so... it evaporates so quickly, and it just cools off so quickly that the second it leaves the steamer, it's already cool. But I think as far as Kli Rishon, I think they do consider it Iroi Kli Rishon. That's just the way that it pours out to maintain its heat. Some of them, the industrial level ones, are really, really hot. It would be good. But a lot of times people just use like their steamers that they use to like get wrinkles out of their suit or something.
The spout is normally still steaming after you...
Yeah, so I'm saying I think they do view that as Kli Rishon. That's not a ladle. It's all part of the same Kli. I think they view that as part of the same Kli. Right, it's a discussion like in the pipes in your house. You know, when you turn on hot water, so the hot water is coming out as either Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni. It's boiling up in the boiler, but then it runs through all those pipes. So are the pipes of Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? So we're machmir that it's considered Kli Rishon when you open up your faucet. This is even better. This is mamish attached to the same Kli. Right? Now, we discussed a little bit about making tea on Shabbos, but there are a couple of things that I wanted to get to that we didn't get to when it comes to making tea on Shabbos. Number one, we didn't get to in England. If you're a tea drinker, which if you're in England, you're a tea drinker. The way they have tea in England is you put milk in the tea. It's not so popular in America, but that's what was done. I remember when I was a little boy, when I would be homesick from school, my mother would make me tea with honey and milk. I don't know where she got it from. Maybe it was a European thing she got from her mother. I don't know, but that was the thing, to put milk in the tea. So Mishnah Berurah says that according to one day in Shulchan Aruch, we should be machmir by everything chutz mi'mayim v'shemen, not to put in a klisheni, because it could be that it's mikalei abishal and it's mivashal in a klisheni. So what about putting milk into a cup of hot tea? Is that mutter? Or maybe we have to warm up the milk before Shabbos in order that it should be mevushal gamri. And then you could be mekel in a klisheni. So there's a machlokas haposkim. Minchas Yitzchak writes in Chelkesim Kov Chav Zayin and Shevet Levi and Chelik Yotzim and Samach Dalit that all our milk is pasteurized already. So you consider it to be mevushal already as far as this is concerned. You could put it into a klisheni. That's how Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes as well, according to Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And that's how Rav Moshe writes, in Rechaim Chel Galzim Nayin Dalit. He writes, Hine chema b'medina zu shenasa mechalav shemevashlim t'chil shenikr pasteurizer im haya b'midas yatzoledes harin nasa chema mechalav mevushal. As long as it once got the yatzoledes, it pasteurizes and gets its yatzoledes, milk is already cooked. And certainly once it's turned into butter, so then it's a davar, then it's a davar yavish, davar yavish ein bishul achar bishul. However, Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Shvus Yitzchak, bishul perichaf hei oz dalid, that pasteurizing isn't considered bishul as far as the bishul achar bishul b'shabbos, because it's not a gemar bishul on the chalav, and therefore putting in a cliche is mechzi kemevashel, and. In Rav Yashiv's house, they were makbid to heat up the milk again before Shabbos, to boil the milk before Shabbos, if they wanted to put the milk in tea, or for that matter, and more nogea to us, coffee, right? Meaning you're going to put in a cliche of coffee, so it's still going to be really, really hot, because you want to drink a really hot coffee, so do you rely on the fact that it was pasteurized?
I can understand two things. One is, what is the Gemara Malachas about the milk?
Yeah, it's a little difficult to understand, right? I mean, he's saying that you would only say in Bishul Achar Bishul if the original Bishul was a real Bishul. But this wasn't a real Bishul, even though temperature-wise it might be a real Bishul, but it wasn't the way you would want cooked milk to be. I don't know.
And is that why he comes onto the Metzi issue and not that maybe it's calling a Bishul? Because the Metzias really is a Mishbash already, because it got...
Maybe. I don't know. Got to look that up. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Can you tie in that placing milk in is not Metzi Mishbash because it's similar to Tavlin, and that it's just adding flavor or consistency?
It's hard to say it's Tavlin. It definitely adds like a food quality to the drink. It mixes it entirely, changes the whole color. It makes it I don't know. Hard to say that it's just a Tavlin.
I don't think it's directly aligned. Doesn't this show that Rav Shlomo Zalman is masking to Rav Moshe about the Ramah by Dover Lach?
By Dover Lach, the Meikra Din, it's really mutter. Yeah. Anyone machmir not to put milk in their coffee? Well, anyway, our coffees are usually... Well, we'll see if our coffees are cliché or cliché. Let's assume you make a coffee in a cliché. I don't know, I think I never heard of it.
It's really not assuming that you use a cliché, because of the
oil. He doesn't know the... Yeah, it's the easiest answer. I just don't know if it's necessary. Right? We'll see with coffee whether you need a cliché for the coffee itself. Let's assume you don't need a cliché for the coffee itself. Or for a tea, let's even assume. Let's assume like Rav Shechter, like Rav Salvage, you only need a cliché. Is the milk going to be a problem? I don't think so. I don't think the milk's going to be a problem. What about you put honey? So honey isn't pasteurized. So a lot of people put honey into a cup of tea, especially if throat's hurting. It's very soothing. So in the Sefer Emes Liakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Ha'aros on the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Dvash efshar shuhu mikalei abishul. It could be that honey is kalei abishul. V'yesh lahachmir shalolitno betoch kos tei b'shabes. They have mipi ha'shmur from Rabbi Yaakov. Not to put honey in a cup of tea, because it's kalei abishul. So, based on the machlok sacharim that we discussed, it turns out that according to Rav Moshe, you could put kali abishul into a kli shlishi, so no problem. You just the hakpada by dvash, even if you are concerned that it's kali abishul, it'll only be in a kli sheni, not in a kli shlishi. And according to the Shmir Shabbos, it holds that whatever is not mefurish in the Gemara is considered kali abishul, you could be mekel in a kli shlishi also. Whereas according to the Chazanish, we're not machzik stam machalim is like a kali abishul, so also dvash shouldn't be considered a kali abishul. Meaning you have a couple of sudden be makel over here. First of all, you have kli shlishi, and second of all, if you hold the kli shlishi is enough even for kali abishul not to be mevashel. And second, I'm not convinced that he's right that dvash is a kali abishul. According to the Chazanish, who says that dvash is a kali abishul? Furthermore, in many places they do cook the honey in the factories before they sell it. So another sniff, ein bishul achar bishul, afilu b'dover lach, meikra adin. Now, someone pointed out to me, my editor for the Sefer pointed out to me, that he saw a mimer from someone of Yisrael Goldman Shlita, a Rav in Ramot, about kashrus of honey, And he says over there that if the honey is nikrash b'mekarer, it's in a, it's put in a refrigerator and it congeals, it could be that you have the patur of bishul achar bishul b'davar yavesh, because according to many achronim, once something is congealed and then it becomes liquefied again, it has the status of davar yavesh, because you go with what it was when you start heating it up, and at the time that you start heating it up, it's a davar yavesh. Chayyadam is mashma that taking a davar karush and liquefying it is mishum vashel yatzol edespo. So the chora would be also according to that, but many achronim disagree that only something that that is more solid by nature, but something that was liquid and became nikrash is not included in that. So dvash, which was more liquefied and then became nikrash in the refrigerator, would be mutter in a cliche in the alkal padim if it's not mikalei abishul. So again, with dvash you have a few studim over here. You have three different studim. You have the possibility that it's not kalei abishul. Chazanish says there's no reason to assume that things are kalei abishul. You have the possibility of kli shlishi, which Ramesh is willing to be makel about a kli shlishi, and you have the possibility that it's already mevushel. In Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Alter Rebbe in Shin Yud Ches Yud Beis writes that Shar Mashkin are included in Mayim, that the Gemara says are clearly not Mikalei Abishul, that meaning Mashkin, meaning a natural juice without any other ingredients. So the Chora, there's no Isra of putting honey into a tea, even in a klisheni, because honey is a mashka, it's from the Shivas Minei HaMashkin, and therefore it's not Mikalei Abishul. However, the Mishabruah is Matir Chalav Mevushal that was cooled down. Sounds like Chalav that's not Mevushal is Aser. So you see, the Mishabruah doesn't hold that way. Because Chalav is also one of the Zayin Mashkim. So again, Shulchan Aruch Harav writes that what does the Gemara say? Meaning, even if you're going to be Machmed, that everything is Kalei Abishal. That's, no one holds everything. Everything is Kalei Abishal. What the Gemara says is not Kalei Abishal is definitely not Kalei Abishal. And one of the things the Gemara said is not Kalei Abishal is water and oil also. Those are clearly not Kalei Abishal. So essentially, Shulchan Aruch Harav, just water and oil? Yad Shachatam. You have seven mashkim that all have a din of mashke. None of them are Kalei Abishal. It's all Kiilu, they're Mefurish in the Gemara, that they're not Kalei Abishal. Mishabruah clearly didn't hold that way, because Mishabruah is worried about you putting milk in your tea, unless the milk was heated beforehand. So Mishabruah obviously holds that milk might be Kalei Abishal. But if you say like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, honey is automatically not Kalei Abishal. So how many Sadim Lakel? First of all, honey may not be Kalei Abishal. Second of all, meaning, first of all, you may hold like the Chazon Ish that you don't just assume things are Kalei Abishal. Second of all, even if you do assume like the Mishabruah that everything's Kalei Abishal, maybe honey, you hold like the Alter Rebbe, that honey is Mefurish in the Gemara, because it's one of the Zayin Mashkim, so it's not going to be Kalei Abishal. Third, maybe you have the fact that it was already Mevushal previously. And what else? What else did we have? What sniff am I missing? Kli Shlishi, right? You have Kli Shlishi. So, okay, so you could put honey in your tea.
Is
that
being Kli Shani or Kli
Shlishi? So depending which coolers you're holding with. Yeah, I don't think even in a Kli Shani.
This also hold by bread. Say, bread and you say, but if you're old, it is
Kali Bishop,
right? Put honey on bread.
But hot bread, what do you mean?
Like honey, so it's not.
No, but I'm saying, where's the bishul if it's just some bread?
Let's say it's a hot piece of bread, it just came out of the.
So to put honey on. What?
That's a wonderful bread.
I mean, sometimes, you ever. Yeah. Sometimes, like.
It is really hot.
Yeah.
So you dip, put honey on it, or dip it, is that considered?
Okay. It's a davar gush. Okay, you could put a lot of chumras together. I don't know, pashtus is... first of all, it's pasteurized, probably. Right, that was the other thing. It's pasteurized, it's probably the bushel. Lemon is probably the hardest one, right? Of all the things that people put in the tea, lemon is probably the hardest one, because lemons aren't pre-cooked. The biggest cooler that you have is something that's already pasteurized or something that's already cooked. Or it's mefurish in the Gemara that it's kalei abishul. Lemon, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to put tavlin into a kli rishon, because it becomes cooked in a kli rishon, but you can put tavlin into a kli sheni. So the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, lekalu nosin chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. Rabbi Yehuda holds the tavlin is mispashal only when you put it into something that has chometz or tzir, that the charifus will help the bishul of the tavlin. So the Gemara is not sure whether Rabbi Yehuda is going on the ratio of the Mishnah. It talks about an ilfus kadeira, and he's coming to be mekel. That Tanakama says that you're not allowed to put tavlin into a kli rishon, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's mutter to put tavlin into a kli rishon that doesn't have chometz tzir. Or maybe asefa koyu luchumra. The Rabbi Yehuda is telling me that a kar or a tamchoy, which is a klisheni, you even have to be machmir when there's chometz v'tzir. That Tanakama holds you're allowed to put tavlin in a klisheni. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, not every klisheni, only klisheni that doesn't have chometz or tzir. So the Gemara ultimately says Rabbi Yehuda is talking about the beginning of the Tanakama, the first statement of the Tanakama. He's coming to be mekel, but we don't pass on Rabbi Yehuda. We pass on the chabim, and therefore you're not allowed to put tavlin into a kli rishon, even if it's not charif. But the poskim discuss, do we derive from Rabbi Yehuda that maybe there's an isra in a chumra to do bishul of tavlin charif in a kli sheni? Meaning maybe a tavlin that's more charif would, even though we don't pass on the Rabbi Yehuda, the kli rishon, he was willing to be making a kli rishon if there's no chometz tzir, but maybe we would pass on like Rabbi Yehuda in that we have to be more machmir when there's chometz tzir. So even though we're going to be making in a klisheni, but maybe when there's chometz tzir, when there's something that's a davar charif, maybe we're going to have to be more machmir in a klisheni, and that's going to be very nogeya to the inyan of putting lemon. But I'm just seeing now we're not going to have time to really get into it. So the plan for tomorrow is we'll talk about lemon and we'll talk about instant coffee in all of its different, all these different formulations with the pour over and the Starbucks Vias and the, so we'll talk about all of that stuff also tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and then we'll move on to Bishul Drab on Wednesday, right? Oh, Hagasa, we gotta get to Hagasa also. So. Oh, man. All right, we'll figure it out. We'll try to get that. Okay.